This is Leafs Breakfast.
Knocked out at center, down the ice it goes. Ball game. Leafs win it 2-1, and Matt Murray has an outstanding game and goal for Toronto, and the New Jersey Devils' winning streak comes to a crashing halt.
If we have learned anything about the Toronto Maple Leafs this season, is expect the unexpected. And I think last night's a prime example. They're going into New Jersey, a team that's won 13 games in a row. Their defense core is battered and bruised. Nobody really gives them a chance. But of course, the Leafs emerged with a 2-1 win. I will say one thing that I was not expecting was full beers and chicken fingers being pelted at them during the game and after it. Let's welcome in our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson, here on Leafs Breakfast. What's going on, MJ?
And all you're thinking, AK, is like, what a waste of chicken fingers. I'd have some of those. Like, you can't be dumping full beers. That should be being drank.
Like
14 bucks in a rink. That's a pricey protest they're going with.
Kidding.
But I tell you, it was a wild game, really. The Leafs played well. Matt Murray was good in net. Didn't give too much to Jersey, but you know, when the disallowed goals start piling up, and we'll get into all of them, I can see the frustration. But you know, there is a penalty for people throwing things on the ice. There's a penalty on the home team for delay a game. You put out the warning on the PA speaker. Any more things thrown on the ice, and there's a penalty. And maybe they don't want to exacerbate the problem, think it's going to get worse by doing it. But this is not something that's a good look for the NHL, not just on Jersey. It happened in Colorado last night too. But like, people throwing stuff on the ice is not something that you want to see become part of the normal course of a game.
No, definitely not, especially when you're talking about full beers. And I was sharing a story, Johnny, about my experience in Europe. And, you know, when the European fans whistle, sort of a sign of booing their team, they throw coins on the ice, like pennies and nickels and, you know, quarters, whatever it is. I'm not sure if you shared that same experience with your time over there or saw that at all, but definitely dangerous for sure.
I don't remember the coins on the ice over there, but when I played in Tampa, we weren't very good, Carlo, and Steve Luzzik was our coach. And so we were frequently trailing in games, and we often needed more than one timeout. So we also used the coin timeout, where Luzzik would carry like 20 coins in his pocket. And back then, you know, like 2001, there weren't cameras everywhere. So we'd be down 3-2 and there'd be 3 minutes left. All of a sudden, you'd be like, hey, coins on the ice. Because he
no way.
Hey, he would throw coins on the ice.
He would empty his pocket and dump on the ice. They'd take about 20 seconds to make sure they got them all off the ice. I'm like, well, that's one way to do it, because they'd always have to stop the game to clean it up. So I have seen coins on the ice, but only because of our own team doing it.
That, Johnny, that is amazing, and I got one up for you. When I played in Germany, I won't say the name of the coach because I don't want to out him, but there was a story that went around about a coach who faked a heart attack on the bench so his team could get a timeout late in the game.
Come on.
I'm not even kidding. Because they used their timeout. It was in a playoff game. There was a 3-2 game. He needed a timeout. He faked the heart attack.
He's getting like the shockers going on. He's like, guys, I'm good. You don't need to actually do that.
Crazy. I'm better.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Oh, all right. Heart's beating again. No worries. That's a wild story.
True story, man.
And that Luzzik story is crazy, too. How many times did he pull that, Mike?
Half dozen. Easily. Maybe
half dozen? So you tell me after like the third time, the referees aren't like, dude, we know you have coins in your pocket.
What are you going to do? You can't, unless you put a camera on him the entire game, what are you going to do? He'd give like right by his hip, he just like the little shovel and like a
I could just see him like I could just see somebody listening to this as a coach and trying to replicate it, and instead of like themselves throwing it on the ice, they're stuffing it in the back of players' jerseys on the bench, so when they go skate on the ice it falls out and hits the ice.
also a viable. Listen, there's lots of ways, but there's too many cameras now. Whether it's in the stands, somebody behind the bench would like tape it. And then it would be
people carry cameras in their hands nowadays, man. You can't do anything.
Yeah,
anymore.
No good.
Crazy.
All right, so Mike Johnson's our guest here on Leafs Breakfast. Mike, the Leafs make a trade yesterday. They acquire Connor Timmins from the Arizona Coyotes, and they may need him perhaps as early as tomorrow night against Minnesota because Jordy Benn gets hurt, another defenseman injured. This is almost unprecedented, but I think it's also fair to say that this has been kind of a rallying point for this entire team. In spite of all these injuries, in spite of all the adversity, they were able to play a little bit more of a reserved offensive style. And let's be honest here, New Jersey dominated the second and third period, but the Leafs were able to hold up in part due to Matt Murray, but I think in part due to a really strong start and a really strong first period. How did you see their performance in totality last night?
Yeah, that's a pretty good summation of it. Like Jersey generally outplays their opposition. They have just about every single game they've played this year. So given the depleted ranks, to think that Toronto would be able to push play or carry play or generate just as many chances, just as much zone time, like that was going to be not likely. You're going to need timely scoring, couple skill plays, good goaltending, stout defense in pivotal moments. They kind of got all of that. Yes, there was very much a we're bending and almost breaking mentality for the second and third period, but good goaltending is part of a game plan, especially when you have a roster that is this is much thinner than what Jersey had available to them last night. So they did what they had to do. I don't know if that's a sustainable way to go winning every game, try to rely on your goaltending being excellent, but I think maybe one of the bigger picture things is I know Matt Murray's been hurt, and so we haven't got a full, long, big picture evaluation of him. But other than the first game against Montreal, where he probably was a bit nervous, he didn't have a great game, he's been very good.
Solid.
Like, I just got to say it. He has been very, very good. Of all the question marks about Toronto, how could they roll the dice on Murray and Samsonov? These two guys weren't qualified. Nobody wanted them. What are they doing? We're a quarter way through the season. You'd have to say, as far as positions that have overachieved, goaltending is by far the biggest. Like they're the A-plus performance by Murray and by Samsonov so far this year. And good for Matt Murray. He was really good when he had to be.
Yeah, and during this stretch now of, depleted defense and adversity, they're going to need to count on him more than ever, right? And I think that was a good sign last night of him embracing that role and allowing, the team in front of him to get the right result. And I know AK mentioned that the Maple Leafs made a trade yesterday. What a trade. I mean, they dump it as soon as the Canada game starts. I don't understand the timing of that, but what was your overall reaction to the trade of them acquiring Connor Timmins on defense? If you're asking me, it's kind of what I expected them to do. Nothing of impact, but something just that provides more depth within the organization and a guy that has upside, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it's a body that could maybe play in the NHL. You're right, Connor Timmins, he was very highly touted. He was a big part of the trade that Arizona acquired for Darcy Kemper when Darcy Kemper was straight up to Colorado. So he's been highly thought of. He's got great measurables. He's big. He skates well, right shot. He has a lot of things that you like. He's kind of been plagued by some injuries that have stunted his growth. My only concern, Carlo, and I say this respectfully, but I had this conversation when I played on teams like this. He wasn't playing for Arizona.
Right.
If you're not playing for Arizona, then, to think you're going to step in on one of the best teams in the league or better teams in the league is probably not likely. Like, he's got some growth that he needs, some development, and maybe that's the development team and the coaching staff can coach him up and tap into some of that potential that he has that everyone kind of acknowledges that he has. And maybe you're onto something. I know the Sault Ste. Marie connection is there, so everyone's where do you play Sault Ste. Marie?
He's getting old, man, honestly. Yeah, like every trade is like, oh, did he play for the Sioux? And lo and behold, he does. Like, is this Sioux this, like, breeding farm? Is this just like a breeding farm that has been developed for the Toronto Maple Leafs? Sure seems like it.
It's a pipeline. I think it's probably a bit overplayed at this point. It's maybe, sometimes it's true. Sometimes it's probably not that not much of a factor in the deal, but we'll see. I mean, he might play. Jordy Benn looked like he was injured last night a little bit. So if he can't go, then, they go further down. And this is the problem. You try to explain How many teams in the NHL could lose their first, second, and third defenseman and keep on winning? Almost none. Maybe none. And yet the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to try to do that for a while. And it's not that, you know, when you lose one guy, well, then you're putting in the seventh guy. And that's doable. When you lose a second guy, you're putting your eighth guy. Yeah. When you lose a third guy, now you're putting your ninth guy, whoever your ninth guy in the depth chart is playing a regular role. Could be down to your 10th guy now if Jordy Benn. So you're playing, you know, some version of, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 on your depth chart every single game. That's going to be tough. And teams are just not built with that much depth. So we'll see how it goes going forward. But, yeah, interesting trade. We'll see what happens. I don't think people should expect the next coming of anything there. Connor Timmins is going to take a little time to get his game in order.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think people shouldn't expect a big impact trade for the Maple Leafs. I mean, Kyle Dubas said it yesterday that the Morgan Rielly injury didn't really spark, you know, the trade for Timmins. He's a guy that they've been looking at and trying to acquire leading up to this. I think just the timing was that the deal was made yesterday, and they might be going to look for more of those guys. I think that's what the move is. You got to look for more of those guys right now just to tread water and then see where you're at come February. And if you feel like you need to make an impact move, you go out and make it then, because you would hate to things go big and make a big impact move right now and then things fall off the rails because, you know, the injuries catch up to you. But speaking of trades, we saw another trade in the NHL yesterday with Ryan Reeves going from the Rangers to Minnesota for a fifth-round pick. Johnny, help me understand this. Wouldn't any team love to bring in a Ryan Reeves for a fifth-round pick?
Obviously not. If someone wanted him for a fourth-round pick, then they would have traded him for a fourth-round pick. Let's be honest, right? Like, the league tells you what you're worth, for better or worse. And it's not just Ryan Reeves. We know what he brings. He bangs into people. He's the toughest guy out there in the league as far as fighting goes. Great teammate and all those other things. But, you know, generally speaking, Carlo, you can't afford to pay. I think Ryan Reeves makes, like, $2
million. 1.75.
Right, 1.8. So you can't pay guys more than $8.50 that do that. Play that role. He doesn't play very much. He doesn't play many minutes. And if it's a game that's not physical, or it's a game that's not, doesn't have that kind of bite where he really can maybe make an impact, it's salary allocations, and it's just he doesn't play enough variety of styles in games to be maybe worth more around the league. And I think the Rangers recognized that. The Rangers were overpaying their fourth line with Sammy Blay down there and Barkley who drove down there sometimes and Ryan Reeves. You can't have $6 million in your fourth line. You just can't. That's not how the league is built. If you're paying top players more than that, it's not about Ryan Reeves not being a great teammate, toughest guy in the league, and all those things. It's just about salary allocation and how every team is capped out. And if someone wanted him for, if someone, like what was it, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, he was traded for a first-rounder.
First-round pick, yeah. St. Louis to Pittsburgh.
They wanted to keep people away from Sidney Crosby. I think we all realize, I'm acknowledging Ryan Reeves is wildly tough and incredibly intimidating. Even Ryan Reeves can't deter players from being physical with other guys. So Kaprizov is not going to get an easy run because he's in Minnesota. Like, that's just not how the league works, even dealing with the toughest guy in it. So, you know, the value, you know, is probably depreciated from there.
MJ, thank you so much for doing this. Maybe we'll see Ryan Reeves tomorrow as the Leafs are in Minnesota, take on his new team, the Wild, and then they have the Pittsburgh Penguins on Saturday night. So a couple tough tests for a Leafs team that has virtually no defensemen. So good luck to them. And thank you for doing this, Mike. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
See you,
right,
buddy.
Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. Man, that Steve Ludzik story was unbelievable. Six times.
Ludwig. Was it Ludwig or Ludzig?
No, Steve Ludzik. But okay, I can't believe that he threw coins on the ice six times. That's unbelievable. Like, the fourth time, they must have been like, well, dude, obviously this is what you're doing. The referees must have caught wind on that. Man, that's amazing stuff. Fantastic stuff from Mike Johnson. All right, so we've got hour number three of First Up on the other side. We're gonna tell you how to win a pair of Raptors tickets. We're going to be joined by a dude who's on a camel right now, and Ed Werder, our NFL analyst. Can you expect anything else from a radio show? The answer is no. More First Up after this.